just as our Lord Jesus Christ, when he was on the earth, multiplied the little that the little boy, the young boy, gave him of the loaves and the fishes, and so he does today with our efforts. He takes the little we give and multiplies it as only he can do. He multiplied the loaves and the fishes, the handful of each, and fed 5,000 men. And that doesn't include the women or children. So thousands of people were fed when one little boy gave Jesus what little he had. The Bible says in Psalm 34:8, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. And so as you and I go forth and we obey God, realize and anticipate that he's going to take what seems to be a feeble effort on our part in obeying him and continue to multiply it. And as we're faithful in the least that he's given us, he's going to make us ruler over more. That's the parable of the talent summed up in Matthew chapter 25. God's not going to promote you beyond your faithfulness. In other words, you have to be faithful right where you are with the money, with the time, with the abilities, everything God's given you to do the work of God in his way via his word and by his spirit. And as you do that, he's going to continue to increase you as long as you are faithful to him. There's a man in the Old Testament. In fact, it's in 2 Chronicles chapter 26, verse 5. The Bible says of Uzziah that as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. I want you to memorize that. 2 Chronicles 26, verse 5. As long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. And that's the same, and that's in the Bible for us. Whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Romans chapter 15, verse 4. Okay, and then also 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11, the scripture says, now all these things that were written and recorded in the Old Testament scriptures, that is, happened unto them, the people of God, the Israelites, for examples. And they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. So if you ever wonder if the Old Testament scriptures are relevant, wonder no more, because the New Testament scriptures tell us that they absolutely are written for us. Romans 15, 4, 1 Corinthians 10, 11. And one of those things is right here, 2 Chronicles 26, 5. As long as he sought the Lord, King Uzziah, as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. In other words, if he stopped seeking the Lord, God would cease to prosper him. As long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. God is not available to casual seekers, to tire kickers. Notice Jeremiah chapter 29, beginning in verse 11, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. But there are conditions. Verse 12, then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. And I will, here's the promise, only to those who will search for him, seek his face with all their heart, and I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity. I'm going to set you free, and I will gather you from all the nations, from among all the heathen people, and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord, and I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive. So God is going to bring those who trust him to the end, seek him, who continually seek him, who endure to the end. He's going to bring us into the new Jerusalem. His promise is to those who initially believed and then those who continue to believe to the end. The scripture says if we don't abide in Jesus after he saves us, we're going to be cast into the fire. What could that mean other than eternal damnation? John 15, verse 6. Jesus says, without me, you can do nothing. So we must abide in him. We must seek him, it says here, with all of our heart. Jeremiah 29, verse 11 through 15. And notice 1 Chronicles 16, 11 tells us, seek the Lord in his strength, seek his face continually, perpetually. Okay, so we're talking about how God, as we seek his face and do his will, how he blesses us. He multiplies our efforts. Paul said that he preached more than anybody else. 1 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10. I just absolutely love this verse. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 10, the apostle writes, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am." I mean, that's all I am, is who God made me, right? By the grace of God. "And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all." Now, he labored. He was diligent. "Yet not I, but the grace of God that labored with me." That's 1 Corinthians 15, verse 10. And notice the promise also of Ephesians 3, verse 20. Ephesians 3, verse 20. "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." That's the power of God, which is divine power. It's power from the Almighty. It's unlimited power, whereas we're limited, but he's not. He's unlimited. And when we're faithful to God to do things his way and to do it diligently, as we seek the Lord in his strength and seek his face continually, God is going to exceedingly abundantly, above all that we ask or think, bless. Just as Jesus gave us this example when he multiplied the fishes and loaves and fed the 5,000 men. I love 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8, which says the following concerning those who give, "And God is able to make all grace abound toward you," always abound toward you in every good work. Notice, "And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work." What a blessed message that is from the Lord. Notice how he's impacting and importing this conveyance and communication to assure you that he is able. If you're a cheerful giver, verse 7, God is able. You can't outgive God. That's what we see right here. He's going to exceedingly abundantly, above all things, bless you according as you give of your life, first of all. And when you give of your life, you'll be given of your substance that God puts in your hands. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye who give out of a cheerful heart of your life and substance, always having all sufficiency, you'll never lack, in all things may abound to every good work. Hallelujah. That's Ephesians 3:20 and 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. Okay, so we've never been so reminded of this miraculous power of God working than we have of lately, when we have Brother Juan 3 weeks ago is collided, his path and mine collided. This is a man of God who's spirit-filled and evangelizing all day, every day, everywhere he goes. And God caused some of the bottled water that he was carrying into a cafe as he did his work to drop on the sidewalk and roll right into my feet. And then we also have Sister Maria, whom the Lord connected us thereafter, who is literally passing out hundreds of Jesus tracts and ministering every day. And our quote-unquote problem now is having enough tracts in print to supply both of these precious laborers for the Lord. The Lord told us, and we've all been praying, "Send forth laborers into your harvest, Lord. Raise them up and help us to be a support to them." And God is answering that. That's what Jesus said. Jesus said, "Pray ye the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." And we have been together and individually praying that prayer. The exact prayer Jesus said we're to pray out of the end of Matthew 9. "Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." God is answering that prayer in many people, including Brother Juan and Sister Maria. Jesus said right there unto his disciples, "The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few." Therefore, he says, "Pray ye therefore." What is that therefore? Because Jesus just told us the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. He says, "Then pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest," that would be the Father, "that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." And these are people that were already laboring in the Lord, but they needed the help of the body of Christ. As we see at the end of 1 Corinthians 16, where the house of Stephanas, or the household of Stephanas, were addicted, busy, diligently, daily, they were addicted to the ministry of the saints, or the ministering to the saints, and doing the Great Commission. And so he said, "Join yourself with these type people." End of 1 Corinthians chapter 16. What a beautiful revelation. And that's what we have here in the community of the saints. We've been praying for the Lord to send forth laborers because, as Jesus said here, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. And just before that, in the same passage, Jesus was moved with compassion on the sheep who were without a shepherd. He's the great shepherd that they need. And that's who we're reaching today, saints. Every day on the streets of Mexico is the lost sheep, the sheep that do not know Jesus yet. And their attention to the gospel is staggering when we minister to them. It's amazing. And that's what we have in Brother Juan and Sister Maria and many others. Remember, the Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Have we prayed that lately? Lord, order every one of my steps. Use me, Lord. Use me for your glory. Bless me to abide in you, Jesus, to dwell in vital union with you, crucified with you, Lord. Just ask and you shall receive, saints. Remember, Jesus said, it's so simple. Ask and you shall receive. And anything you ask in his name, you can ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. John 14:13-14. John 16:23-24. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find, Jesus said. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Matthew 7:7.
So when we ask and we apply corresponding action, obedience to God, to our desire to be used of God, he is going to fill us with his joy, which he says is our strength. Nehemiah 8:10.
Let us take God at his word, saints, and simply pray. Somebody listening is probably toiling, as we many times do. You're not alone, with overcoming or being more fruitful and obedient to the Lord. Why don't we just stop today? In fact, we'll do that together in just a minute and say, Lord, please do your work in me, Lord, in my heart, so that it manifests in my life, my thoughts, my words, and my actions. And we can pray. We'll pray according to David here in just a minute. Notice, so it has been wisely stated that show me a man's prayer life or his life of prayer or lack thereof, and I will show you exactly who that man truly is and who or what he truly loves the most, unquote. All who are zealous for the Lord are zealous about his work, to do it, to see it accomplished, to execute that work, the work of the Great Commission, not to build some man's church, community, and club. No, as he makes merchandise of the people and squanders, exploits them, and uses the money on anything but building the kingdom of God in the hearts of men. That's what Jesus meant when he said, I will build my church. He obviously didn't mean that he's going to send forth charlatans to build church buildings and church businesses. No. How do we know that? Well, Jesus nor his apostles never collected a penny to build a physical building. Let that sink in. Anybody who's funding a church building, quote unquote, is funding a fraud. That whole system is absolutely apostate. It's dead wrong. If it's not, tell me, where did the apostles or where did Jesus ever collect a penny to build a church building? Nowhere. Jesus said, I will build my church. And what he meant is that he would build his kingdom revelation, beginning with that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God, in the hearts of men. Matthew 16. That's irrefutable. Can you imagine if a tenth, 1/1,000,000th of the funds that were funding these charlatan frauds was going into disciples that are preaching the gospel on the street? Can you imagine how quick the fire of the gospel would spread across the world? Are you, my friend, funding a fraud? Do you realize you're going to be judged with those you bid Godspeed to? That would include funding. For he that biddeth him Godspeed, that means to condone or support him, is partaker of his evil deeds. Who's he speaking of? He's speaking of those who do not continue or abide in the doctrine of Christ. The doctrine of Christ does not include building physical church building. Why do we need that? Why not go out to a breakfast place and have coffee and spontaneous, beautiful, scripture-rich, loving, love-filled fellowship with the body of Christ? Oh, and in the meantime, it's always going to be an opportunity that opens up for evangelism without fail. And Jesus said, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. In the book of John. Again, by this, Jesus said, shall all men know that you are my disciples if you have love one to another. John 13, verse 35. The cup runs over not only of the individual believer, but of the fellowship of the saints. In fact, Mark and I, we walk down the street fellowshipping. There'll be a question introduced. There'll be scripture flowing on that matter. Whatever the topic is, we'll be getting something to eat or a bottle of water because we got thirsty. And then in between and all around us, we're evangelizing, preaching the scriptures and handing out the Jesus tract.
With joy overflowing, emanating from that fellowship with Christ and one another.
Telling people to go home, here's a prayer, repent and receive Christ and the forgiveness of your sins, and he's going to give you new life in Christ, and that hell is forever, so don't go there, get saved today, etc. in Spanish. What a blessing. So, if we love the Lord, we are all about the business of the Great Commission, which is the Father's business, which Jesus gave us, whom the Father sent. And he said, I and the Father are one, and Jesus came to do the will of his Father. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me. John 4. Luke 2:49. I must be about my Father's business. You cannot claim rightly that you truly love and walk with the Lord if you are not about the Father's business. Proverbs 11:30. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. The fruit of those who are right with God is a tree of life. It's a standing monument to the glory of God dwelling in men and women who are truly born again and abiding in Christ. They are bearing fruit, more fruit and much fruit. John 15. Jesus said, I have chosen you and I have ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit. Are you bringing forth fruit? And that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he may give it you. Notice the connection between answered prayer and being obedient to obey the Lord, abide in Christ who has chosen and ordained you. And he's going to answer all your prayers because you're in the middle of doing his will
and not your own.
Jesus said, I didn't come to do my will. I came to do the Father's will. I don't do anything until I hear the Father say it or see him telling me to do it. John 5:30, etc. And that's the same for the true abiding disciple. You can't claim honestly or truthfully that you're abiding in Christ if you're not about the Father's business, which is the Great Commission. And let me read it again, John 15:16, as we close here. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you because you got a seminary degree. I'm sorry, is that in there? No. Let me read this again. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you. God's the only one that can ordain you, that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, that's how we pray to the Father, in the name of Jesus, he may give it you. These things I command you, that you love one another. Let me finish Proverbs 11:30. It seems that I only read part of it. Proverbs 11, verse 30. What a beautiful verse. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. It's a stalwart tree full of life. It stands for all to behold that the blessing of God is on this person's life. Do you desire that? As we said earlier,
you can go before God today and
ask him. Simply ask him, Lord, I want you to do your perfect will in my life from this moment on, that you would maximize your glorification through the fruit that you would bear in and through my life. Let it be, Lord, you must increase, but I must decrease. Let me be dead and buried and crucified with Christ so that you might raise me up to produce the fruit that brings you glory for all eternity in Jesus' name. So the second half of Proverbs 11:30, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Say it with me, he that winneth souls is wise. Who is wise? Who's walking in the wisdom of God? Those that are winning souls. He that winneth souls is wise. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 30. And what's going to happen when that person who is bearing good fruit to the glory of Jesus Christ by abiding in him, what's going to happen when he enters eternal glory as we close? Put a cap on it here, if you will, with Psalm 126, verse 5 and 6, which says, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Sometimes we sow in tears. here, saints. We have a broken heart. We are going through much persecution. We are afflicted within and without, like Paul and the others who labored with him, 2 Corinthians 4. We sow in tears sometimes. It's not always a chill bump, right? It's not always a joy. Sometimes we have to prime the pump. We have to just obey God. We have to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, 2 Timothy 2, as he commanded. We have to endure much affliction, as we see in the life of Paul, as we see in the life of Joseph, of Job, who said, though you slay me, Lord, I'm going to trust you. I'm still going to trust you, Lord. Are we willing to do that today, friends? I know God really cornered me on this matter. It took him many years. I'm one of his most stubborn students. But finally, I started rejoicing and declaring with Job, Job 13:15, though you slay me, Lord, I'm going to trust and love and worship you, O God. Are we willing to go before the Lord with that prayer? That's when things are going to start happening. If you will say, Lord, you will stand with your perhaps your hands and heart lifted and say, Lord, it doesn't matter. I want to love you. I'm going to love you no matter what. It's like a man and a woman who are engaged to be married. And she says, you know what, sir? I have chosen to love you, and I don't care what you're going through. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to be by your side. I'm going to be lifting you in prayer. I'm going to rub your shoulders when we get married. I'm going to massage your feet. I'm going to give you a kelp massage. I'm going to feed you with whatever God gives us to eat. I'm going to clean our house. I'm going to be a keeper at home. I'm going to be one who bears children.
That represents good fruit.
To the glory of God and for your honor, sir. Do you see the picture there? I'm going to anticipate your needs. Isn't that the way we should be toward the Savior, the bridegroom, Jesus Christ?
As we wait upon him daily, sitting at his feet, saying,
Lord, no matter what, I'm going to serve you. I'm going to wash the feet of your saints. I'm going to come to their aid. I am going to anticipate their need, and I'm going to get behind it in prayer and in provision so that they can be the most effective because they got water to drink. They've got food to eat. They've got tracts to pass out. They are supported. They are nutrified. They are nourished. They are built up in you. Psalm 126, 5 and 6, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. That's a picture of eternal reward there, where the saints of Christ who have labored even through thick and thin, through much tribulation, and they've entered into the kingdom of Christ, and now they're dancing on the streets of gold. Their tears are being wiped away, and
all their toils are behind them, never to return.
They're going to reap reward to the glory of God forever, according to their labor in the Lord while on earth. According to your work, the scripture says, you're going to be rewarded. You're not going to be rewarded for work you thought about doing or intended on doing, but work you did. Somebody has said that the road to hell is paved with good intention. Oh, how beautiful it is to see people that are deliberately obedient to Christ. They don't labor only when they're feeling good. They sow in tears, and they're going to reap in joy as God wipes away all of their tears and rewards them world without end with riches untold. Verse 26, he that goeth forth and weepeth. Now, this could mean several things. We did a message on this recently. He that goeth forth and weepeth. Do you weep for the souls of men? Do you desire to see them saved? Notice, he that goeth forth and weepeth, he labors out of a broken heart, bearing precious seed. That's the word of God. Luke 8:11, the seed is the word of God. And here he's speaking of bearing precious seed shall doubtless, or without doubt, absolutely, he's going to come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves or his harvest with him. God is going to reward us according to our labor. And many times we're going to labor weeping as we bear the precious seed of the word of God. We're going to sow seed sometimes with tears, and ultimately, we're going to reap with great joy. Heavenly Father, we ask you to do a fresh work in our lives. Each one of us, you know all things and the hearts of all men. We ask you to unite our hearts to fear thy name, O God, and to use everything we have that you have put in our hands, time, talent, and treasure for your eternal glory. Lord, we ask you to direct our way according to your word and by your spirit, order each step, O God. And bless all whom we prayed for and you've answered, who are laboring for your eternal glory. Bless them, Lord. Use me, O God, to help them, to support them, to love them, to shower them in anticipation, getting ahead of their needs with your blessings, the blessings you've given me, you've given us. In Jesus' name. We do these things in the name of Jesus for his glory and in light of your soon return. We love you, Jesus, and thank you for increasing in us as we decrease, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, Scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all Scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among his people and through his beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." Amen.